But if the chol is on the bed, we're on. Okay, let's begin. We're on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. I just want to thank those who those from out of state who put in ads into our. To our journal, it's very appreciative, and I hope one day to meet all my talmidim that I don't know in person. But Be'ez Hashem, we should keep connecting through Torah. Okay, two dots on the bottom of your gimel beis. So we're about to start the Shmona Asar Dvarim, the eighteen things. We mentioned this from the Mishnah yesterday. There were 18 takanos that were made on one day. It was the day that the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel went up to the attic of Hanani Bechizka Ben Gurion, and that day Beis Shammai outnumbered Beis Hillel, and they made 18 takanas, many of which had to do with Tumah and Tahara. So let's just, for 2 minutes, chazer the basics of Tumah and Tahara, which is going to be the yesod for a lot of today's shiur and over the next couple of days. We know there's something, there's Tumah d'Oraisa and Tumah d'Rabbanan. A lot of what we're going to talk about is the world of Tumah d'Rabbanan. But let's remember Tumah d'Oraisa so we know what the Rabbanan did. Tumah d'Oraisa is that there are different levels of Tumah. There's something called Avia Vosa Tumah, that's a dead body. That's the most Tumah thing you can have. Every time you go one step removed from the source of the Tumah, you usually go down one. That's the halacha of Tumah. There are a few exceptions, but the general rule is, anytime something Tumah touches, A touches B, then B is one level down in Tumah from the source. So you have a dead body that touches something, usually that goes from Avi Avos HaTumah, the granddaddy of all Tumahs, to Ava Tumah. Right, that's a father of Tumah. Most things are, that's the strongest. The Mishnah in the beginning of Kalim, it's the first Masechta in Masechas Taurus, in Seder Taurus, the first Perek in Kalim talks all about the different Avos HaTumah. So that's an Avatumah. If an Avatumah touches something, usually it goes to a Rishon LaTumah. You have a father, and Rishon is like the first. Rishon LaTumah. And then you have a Rishon touches something, then it goes to a Sheni LaTumah. And then a Shlishi, and then a Revi. That's usually how it works. That's rule number one. Av, it always goes down. Rule number two is that people and Kalim cannot become less than a Sheni. I'm sorry, less than a Rishon. People and Kalim cannot become less than a Risha, meaning a person and a table and a Kli can become Tame only from an Av HaTumah, Mida Oraisa. If a Rishon LaTumah touches me, I'm Tahar. It's meaningless. It doesn't do anything to me. A person or a Kli. Food can become more Tame. Like food touches a Rishon, then the food becomes a Sheni. That is rule number two. People in Kalim Mida Oraisa can only become Tame if they touch an Av HaTumah, then they become a Rishon. If I touch a Zav, if I touch a Nida, right, then those are Avos HaTumah, and then I become a Rishon. If I touch something that touched a Zav, so I touch a Rishon, then I'm nothing. I'm a nothing. Right, so that's rule number two. Rule number three, and this one is important for us today, the entire concept of what we call a Shlishi LaTumah, or a Revi LaTumah, those bottom two levels do not exist by most things in the world. They don't exist even by food. We just mentioned that food can become Tameh even from a Rishon. That only applies, any food can become Tameh from a Rishon. But which food can become Tameh from a Sheni, meaning becoming a Shlishi, becoming a Revi, that's only Truma and Hektish. Because they are holier than other foods, therefore they are more susceptible to Tumah. So in other words, if a Sheni LaTumah touches my food at home, nothing happens to my food. Because my food is called Chulin. Chulin is non-Truma, non-Kektish. Regular food, Chulin. Regular food cannot become a Shlishi LaTumah. Because it's not so holy, so it's not so susceptible. Usually the more holy something is, the more a stain defiles it. So, but Truma, a Sheni, can make Truma or Hektish into a Shlishi LaTumah. That's the rule of what could become a Shlishi. And finally, the last note of introduction, what about a Revi? A Revi is limited to Hektish. Only Hektish can become a Revi. Kudshim, Karbanos. Even Shruma can't become a Revi. So those are the rules. Rule number one, you always go down a level. Rule number two is that Adam and Kalim can only become Tameh from an Avatumah, not less. Rule number three, the whole concept of Shlishi doesn't exist by Chulin. It's only by Shruma and Hektish. And Revi is only even more limited by Hektish. Okay, those are a couple of introductory rules of Tumah d'Oraisa. Tumah d'Oraisa. Many of these takanas that we're about to talk about, out of the 18, there's 9 or 10 that have to do with Tumah and Tara, additional gzeros of Tumah against what we just said. Meaning we just gave the rules of Tumah Mida Araisa. The Rabbanan, for various reasons, added on more tummy things. They're going to say, oh, you, even though we just said it's impossible for a person to do what? It's impossible for a person to become a Shani. It's not a person to become a Shani. We're going to have examples right now of people becoming Shanis. But that's all Midrabanan. It's all Mishum Gzeira because the Chachamim are worried about something. So first we're going to list off a bunch of the Gzeiras on the bottom of Amud Beis here, and then we're going to go through the reasons on the top of the next page. Okay, so with that introduction, let us begin. Shmona Asar Davar Gazra. My Ninu Shmona Asar Davar. What are the 18 things? Ditznan. So first, let's mention some of them from a Mishnah in Zavin. Zavin is also a Masechta in Taurus, one of the, it's usually seen on the yard site, Shloshim Sheets. Zavin, what's that? Right? But it's also a Masechta, and it's, you know, we should be familiar with all the Masechtas. Anyway, the Mishnah in Zavin says, a number of them, I think 9, if you count it up, and 8 out of 9, as we'll see, are from the Takanas from that day. Ditznan. The Elu Poslin Es Hatshruma. The following things, Pasol Shruma. So what does that mean, Pasol Shruma? What did we just say? When is Shruma unique? What's unique that only Pasol's Shruma but can't Pasol Chulin? We just said, a Sheni, right? Because a Sheni Latuma cannot affect Chulin, right? Because a Chulin can't become a Shlishi. So a Sheni Latuma can only affect, make Shlishis. So this Mishnah is about to list things that are Pasol Shruma, that means things that have the status of a Sheni. Because that's what uniquely Pasol's Shruma. A Rishon can pasul Chulin and Shruma. That's why that's not what this Mishnah is referring to. The following items, Midarabanan, have the status of a Sheni Latuma. Okay? Because it pasuls Shruma. Number one, ha'ochel ochel rishon. If you eat a, if a person eats a food that is a rishon, ha'ochel ochel rishon, then that person becomes a sheni latuma. Okay, even though we just said people can't become sheni latuma midra araisa, too bad. Midra banan, they're a sheni latuma. If a person eats a rishon latuma food, ha'ochel ochel sheni. Or even if a person eats a sheni latuma food, then the person becomes a sheni. All these, the person becomes a sheni. Or if somebody drinks tamei liquids, the person becomes a sheni. Just to allude a little bit, because it's going to help us understand, this is all going to be connected to the fact, because the Chachamim were worried that if you have a rishon latuma in your mouth, and if you're totally tahar, let's say you're a kohen, and you're eating something, and I'm eating a rishon latuma food, and I'm totally tahar, right? Because I can't become a sheni, and all of a sudden I'm going to get some food in my it's not going to go down properly. So all of a sudden I'm going to take my beer, I'm going to take my drink, and like help down the food, but my drink's truma maybe. I'm a kohen, so all of a sudden I'm going to drink some truma, and in my mouth now is going to be truma and a rishon latuma. That's bad news. Right, that's bad news, because then I'm gonna be matami my truma, I might be eating tummy truma, whatever. Because of that whole chash, that's part of the reason we're gonna get to why the Chachamim say if you eat a rishon latuma, you become tame. And therefore that's gonna help us prevent some of these cases. Anyway, that's just alluding to one of the reasons. Next, Vahaba Rosho Veruvo Bamaim Sheuvin. If somebody takes a bath or a shower right after they go to the mikvah, you become tame, says the Mishnah. We'll get to the reasons for that. You can already might have heard some reasons for that. Also, that's the next person who becomes a sheni. Next, v'tarsha naflu arosha v'rubo shlosha lugan mayin sheuvin, a tahar person that takes a shower. Nothing to do with coming out of the mikvah. A tahar person that takes a shower, right? That gets three lugan mayim sheuvin thrown on him. The first one was about specifically after, as Rashi explains, after you go to the mikvah. Then, if you take a bath or a shower, as we'll see, you know, that's a you become tameh. And the next case is if you take a shower, even if you're totally tahar. Vaha sefer. What's a sefer? A sefer Torah. Sefer Torah, Rashi here explains, kol kisvi hakodesh, Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. Cloth of Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, if you have a cloth of the Haftorah, that's if you touch that, then you become a, that itself is called a sheni. The Sefer Torah itself, unbelievable. The Sefer Torah, you would think, is the most holy thing. For some reason, as we'll see, the Sefer Torah has the status of a Sheni Latuma. Fine. The Hayadayim, hands. We'll get to. This is the original, after about 10 steps, reason why we wash our hands before we eat. But we'll get to that. The Hatzavul Yom, A tul yom is somebody who was tummy and he went to the mikvah, but he has to wait for harif shemesh. He has to wait for sunset in order to become tahar for eating truma, right? This was the first din we ever discussed together, the first mishnah in brachas, right? Mishash akonim nechnasan lachot chumasan. Talking about a tul yom. Tul yom is somebody who's tahar, he was tovel yom that day, and now he's waiting to become tahar. The Gemara is going to ask that that's a din daraisa. Everything else is Darabana. What's this doing in the Mishnah? The Gemara is going to ask that. V'ha'ochlin v'ha'kelim sh'nitmu b'mashkin. Last on the list. And food and kelim that were touch tummy liquids. Food and kelim that touch tummy liquids. We're going to get to what the chiddush is here. What do you mean? Certain foods, it might be tummy daraisa. So we're going to interpret this as referring to cases that they wouldn't be tummy midaraisa, and the Rabbanan added on tumma. These are all tumma, except for the tul yom, tumma midrabbanan creations, and these were creations that they came up with in the attic of Chananya. Fine. So now we're going to have a little discussion about the first one, but then we're going to go into reasons for every single one. So first we're going to try to figure out who the Tana is of this Mishnah. Man Tana, ha'okalocha rishon v'ha'okalocha sheni, mifsal pasli temuye lo mitamu. Who is the author of our Mishnah who holds that if you eat a rishon or a sheni, right, what's the first one on the list? If a person eats a rishon or a sheni latuma, they become a sheni. That's what our Mishnah holds. Our Mishnah does not say that if a person eats a rishon or a sheni, they become a rishon. Right, our Mishnah does not say that. But we're going to say it's a machlokas, really, in another Mishnah. But our Mishnah must be the author that says that if you eat a rishon or a sheni latuma, that you become a sheni. That's the halacha. We didn't get to why yet, but that's the halacha. So who is that author? Amar Rabba Rabba Chana Rabbi Yeshua he. It's Rabbi Yeshua. Ditznan Rabbi Eliezer Omer ha'ochel ochel rishon, rishon. Ha'ochel ochel sheni, sheni. Ochel shlishi, shlishi. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that you are what you eat. Right? If you eat a rishon, you are a rishon. If you eat a sheni, you are a sheni. If you eat a shlishi, you are a shlishi. That's different than the author of our Mishnah. We're not going to get into the reasons. There's a big Rashi here, and based on other Gemaras in Chulin. But I looked in the Kahati in this Mishnah in Taurus, about a 3-page Kahati in the little letters. So it's all the explaining. So the Rabbi Eliezer holds that you are what you eat, the level of tumah, and that's not the author of our Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua, like what we said, ha'ochel ochel rishon va'ochel ochel sheni, right? If you eat a rishon or a sheni, you have the status of a sheni, for whatever reason, which we're about to get to, but that is that's the halacha. Shlishi, what if you eat a shlishi? If you eat a shlishi, our Mishnah didn't speak about that. What if you eat a shlishi latuma? So remember, what did we start out with? A shlishi latuma could only do what? What could a shlishi latuma do? Only can be metame hektish, exactly. So it doesn't make sense to make some type of gzera for truma. If you're eating a shlishi, nothing's ever going to happen. Even if you stuff truma in your mouth, as we're going to see, right? Because it's a shlishi. So there, if you eat a shlishi, so then the takana is different. It's a sheni la kodesh, v'ein sheni la truma. You're right. Your only puzzle regarding hektish, because that's the only thing we're talking about, and not for truma. And the Gemara just ends off, the Mishnah ends off, b'chulin shenasu al taras truma. What are you eating here? That's a rishon, that's a sheni. That's a shlishi. How can you eat something that's a shlishi? Right? What's a shlishi? Let's say, right, you're eating truma tmeya? No, you're eating hektish tmeya? We're talking about a balavarian? So Gemara says, no, the case could be if you're eating chulin, but you are a chaver, you are a talmid chacham who eats his chulin in purity, on the level of tahara. That's how you can have something called a shlishi, even though, right, without saying that you're violating an avera.
It's not really a shlishi.
Right, it's not really a shlishi. Fine, you just treat it as a shlishi. Okay, end of that quote from the Mishnah. So now we get to number one. Now we're going to go through each of the gzeiras and figure out why did the rabbis make such a gzeira. Number one, ochel ochel rishon. If a person eats a rishon latuma, then they themselves become a sheni, even though it's impossible for a person to become a sheni midaraisa. Why the rabbis do that? Why if I eat a rishon, do I become a sheni? Dezimnin. I'm sorry. The ochel ochel sheni, if I eat a sheni latuma, I become a sheni. Right, which is also a din d'rabbanan. My time a gazav d'rabbanan tuma. Why? The zimnin to achel ochlin tamein. There are some times that maybe I might be eating a rishon or a sheni. V'shakil mashkin the truma v'shadi lepumi apasaluhu. And then I might want a drink while I'm eating, and therefore I'm going to take a drink of my truma drink, and then all of a sudden I'm going to have truma drink in my mouth with a rishon or a sheni latuma. Rashi says there's an iser d'araisa to be metame truma. That's it. It's a big discussion in the Achronim why Rashi quotes this makar, not others, not for now. But that's the reason number one. Because we're worried that if you're eating a Rishon or Sheni LaTumah, you might put Truma in your mouth with that, and that would be Matami the Truma, because Truma, remember, could become Tami from a Rishon or a Sheni. So therefore, they made a Gzeira, you become a Sheni. So if you become a Sheni, you're not going to pick up Truma, because then you're going to be Matami the Truma. So that's why, that's how we save, how we have that Kshash. Shows them Ashkin Tamei in my time. But what about the drinking Tamei Mashkin? So the same thing, Gazer Beir, Baitaba Gazer Beir, Banan, Tumna, the Zimnan, the Sarsha Mashkin, Tamei, and Vishaka Lofan, the Truma. Maybe you'll be drinking something Tamei, and then you'll take your Truma, Vishadi Lefume, Apostle, and then you might put Truma in your mouth and Apostle. So not only do we say it by drinks, we say it by food, we say it by drinks. Because in both cases, you might put the opposite item. If you're drinking, you might put food in your mouth. If you have food, you might put a drink in your mouth. And therefore, we have a gzeira both by tamei foods and by tamei drinks. Asks the Gemara, Hainu Hach, why do you have to have both gzeiras? Why don't you just make one gzeira? What do you mean, foods and drinks? What's the difference? So the Gemara says, Ma'ot teima hashlichi v'halo shlichi. The Gemara says, no, you might have thought if the Mishnah only had said we have a gzeira by foods, it's normal for people who are eating to then drink something while they have food in their mouth. But it's abnormal, it's unusual for a person who's drinking to put food in their mouth before they finish drinking. So you might have thought that there's no gzeira there. It's milsa tol shchicha. What if you're drinking tamei drink, you're never going to put truma in your mouth. What if when you're think when was the last time we were drinking something and we put food in our mouth when we were drinking? So unusual, right? So the Gemara says you might have thought that there's no gzeira on such a thing because it's milsa tol shchicha lagasa beirabanan. Kamash malan, there's still a gzeira there. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it happens, and that's why there goes there.
Why
did they?
Why didn't they?
Why didn't they?
This can't come up for
Yisrael. Well, it could be something like that. Chulin shenasrot haras truma. For Yisrael zinu chulin shenasrot haras truma. Okay, next. Number three, next gzeira. V'habar rosh haruba v'mayim sh'uvim. Why is it that the Rabbanan where gozer tuma, the person is a sheni if they take a bath or take a shower after they get to go to the mikvah. Remember, in the days of the Mishniach and in the days of the Mikdash, men went to the mikvah just like women went to the mikvah. Men have to be worried about chatzitza too. It's going to come up that it's not just going to be a world for women. It's going to be when we have to go to the base of Mikdash, when we have to go to the mikvah, we're going to have to learn Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara also and learn Hilchas Tevilah. So anyway, so it said there's a gzeira that if you take a shower or a bath after the mikvah, so then you're tamei. Unbelievable. So my time goes to be Rabbanan Tumah. So why? Amar Bibi Amar Avasi Shebetchilo. How you told me Ma'aros Machunas and Misruchin. In the olden days, they didn't have such regular mikvahs like we have. They had these disgusting little wells and caves, and it smelled, and it was muddy. Come out of the mikvah, it wasn't chlorinated, right? It wasn't even close, right? They come out of the mikvah, they smelled, they felt achi. They wanted to take a shower. They went to the mikvah, obviously. But then they wanted to take a shower or a bath to get the smell off. So what used to happen? They used to go to be tovel in the regular mikvah. But you know, right when they came out, they took a shower, they took a bath. Hischilu v'asum keva. Gozro lam tuma. And therefore they started making the practice of a shower or a bath after the mikvah keva. We'll see what that means in a minute. So therefore they said, you're tummy. Why, my keva? What does that mean? They made a keva. Amar Abaya, Shahayu Omrim, Lo Elu Mataren, Ela Elu Ve'elu Mataren. People started saying, it's not just the mikvah that makes you tahar, it's the mikvah and the shower. You have to do both in order to become tahar. So that's why they didn't want people to think that. So therefore they said, you go to a shower or a bath after you go to the mikvah, ha, you're tummy. You think you're just getting clean, you become tummy. So Gemara says, 1 second. Amalei Rava, my nafkalmina. Who cares? So fine, they think you have to do both. You're still doing what you're supposed to do. So you're going to the mikvah and you're doing something else. So people think that you have to go to the mikvah and stand on your head. So what's the matter? So they'll think that. What's the difference? Ha katavli bahanach, already being tovel in the good mikvah. So el amarav, no, the point is, shahi omrim lo elu matarin, ela elu matarin. Not that they think that both, but they started thinking that only the second stage was the ikur tevila, and therefore obviously that's a major problem. If people think that the shower or the bath is what is being matahir them, and therefore they made a gzeira that if you take a shower or a bath right after the mikvah, so then people started thinking that's the only thing, so therefore you become tamei. Pnei Yeshua deals with a big kasha. It's a good big kasha that how could people think that they go into this smelly cave-like thing, and they come out all, they don't smell good, and then they go into this other thing. How in the world are they going to think that they went into the first thing for nothing? Why else would they go into the first thing? Obviously they went into, that was the mikvah, that was meaningful. And the second, so he deals with maybe it means for other people. Maybe other people are only going to see stage two, and then they're going to say, this is the mikvah, and they would only see stage two. He says it doesn't really fit into the words about People realize both stages. See, he deals with it. Maybe it's an issue of kavana. If people think only stage two is more important, they want to have proper kavana in the by the first one. Either way, he deals with that question. But just halacha lemaisa, what is this? This does have ramifications. The Rama quotes in Hilchos Mikvos that a woman bismanazeh is not supposed to take a shower right after she goes into the mikvah, especially at the mikvah. A woman is not supposed to take a shower or a bath. Just Rabbi Forrest quotes it. I just gave it to you from him because he quotes a couple of Al-Achronim. In the opinion of many poskim, a woman should not bathe or shower the night after her tefillah. This applies to washing most of the body. She may wash parts of her body. If she is uncomfortable without showering, some poskim permit her to shower without washing both her body and her head at the same time. Others permit, and these are all based on Al-Achronim on the bottom, it says Eliezer or Moshe. Others permit her to bathe after she was with her husband or even if she merely touched him. If she was involved in household work and became soiled, she may bathe. A woman who is uncomfortable because of the lingering odor of the mikvah should utilize one or more of the leniencies cited above. She may touch her husband and then shower without washing her body and her head simultaneously. Once you know that Sephardic posts can permit a woman to bathe after tefillah. Either way, this is connected to this issue. If a woman wants to take a shower or a bath, for sure not at the mikvah. For sure not at the mikvah. Come home, be involved a little bit, and then if a woman wants, so then, as Rabbi Forrest says, to rely on some of these kulas b'dieved. Yep. No, that's all minug. Man could, it's all minug. Do good flexibility. All showers and baths today are Mayim She'uvim. Mayim She'uvim means non-rainwater. Right. That's called an eklis. So any bath or shower you're going to take is Mayim She'uvim. Okay. Viter. Next, Gzeira. Vitar Shinafla Rosh of Rubo Shlosh Lugan Maim Shuvin. What about a Tahor that Stam? Next Gzeira was somebody who Stam takes a shower. Nothing to do with the mikvah. So that's your Sheni Latuma. So my time it goes to be Rabbanan Tuma. Why did Rabbanan go to Tuma there? Dilo Halo Kaimaha. The Gemara assumes that if you don't make a Gzeira on showering in general, then people are just going to get mixed up and confused. This showering makes me tummy, this showering doesn't make me tummy. So all showering, and showering is what they used to do, really. The Parashim explained, that's what they used to do after the mikvah. But they didn't want to just go to showering after the mikvah, so they were going to showering and bathing after the mikvah. But in general, because the ikar issue that they did was showering, so then they had a low plug, whenever you take a shower, you're a sheni latuma. Because this is not a gzera l'gzera. This is kulach. It's called kulachad gzera. If the Rabbanan make a second step of a gzera, because the first gzera is not going to hold without the second step, that's called one gzera. It's not called two gzeras. What? This is really, they work together. What do you mean, what do you need? The first one is the ikar reason, but they have to add the second one in order to uphold the first one. It's a kosher in Achinami, but they had to do stage two in order to keep stage one from going. People would get confused and they wouldn't hold of stage one if you wouldn't have stage two. They would say, "What? This shower makes me tummy. This one doesn't make me tummy. What's going on here? This is ridiculous." That's what they had to have. They had to have the next stage in order to be gozer on showering per se. Fine. This sefer next. They were gozer a sefer. Rashi says a sefer. Rashi says kol kisvei hakodesh. Right, all Sifrei Torah, all Nevi'im and Ksuvim are Tameh. Tameh, Sheinu L'Tuma. My time, a Gazer Be'er, Rabbanan Tuma. Why? So Amr, Mishar Shia, Mishabitzchilo Ha'imatzinis, Ochlan Ha'chuma, Eitzel Sefer Torah. V'amru, Hai Kodesh V'Hai Kodesh. In the olden days, where did they keep Truma? They didn't want to keep Truma in their regular pantry. You know, maybe somebody's going to come, who's Tameh, is going to eat it, they're not going to know. So he said, keep Truma in the Aron Kodesh. Torahs are holy, Truma is holy. I put it in the Aron. But what used to happen? Animals, mice, achbarim used to come and eat the truma. And once mice are coming into the Aron Kodesh to eat the truma, the food, you know, might as well take a nibble on the Torah. And therefore, there was major problems. We think we have water damage on Torahs. You know, they had other damage on Torahs. Then the Rabbanan wanted to make a gzera to prevent people from putting truma into the Aron. So they say, a sefer Torah is a sheni latuma. Sefer Torah sheni latuma, you don't want to be, right? A sheni is osa shlishi batruma. So therefore, all sefer Torah, they give the status of a sheni latuma. Right? Gozer be rabbanan tuma. So that's why I guess a kohen can't, mikra din, right? He can touch the Torah. Only certain cases he becomes a sheni. But as we said, people can't become anything less than a rishon. So therefore, it's not a problem with reading the Torah, it's not a problem with handling the Torah, but it's just the Torah has the status of a sheni to prevent people from putting truma in the Aron, which would cause problems.
As a general concept of holy and unholy comes from God, we don't even understand it.
Right. The ideas of Tum and Tara come from God, but the Rabbanan are allowed to prescribe certain extra measures in order to prevent us from violating Dinim Daraisa. Mida Oraisa, a Shani makes a Shlishi. Right? Mida Oraisa, the Chachamim saw, and they saw that the Torahs were getting nibbled on. So they said, we have to do something in order to prevent this. Just like they're allowed to tell us you can't blow shofar today, even though it's a mitzvah to blow shofar today. They're allowed to tell us a lot of things.
Why can't there be
People aren't going to listen to that. People aren't going to listen to that. They'll go, listen, just don't put. They have to halachically understand what's going on. And we had one line in the past a couple of months ago. So they got people in Nizar and Tum and Tara, even though they're not Nizar in something else. I don't remember exactly what it was, but what? But Amara is something that the more Nizar and Tum and Tara than in other items. Okay, next Vahayadayim, hands. All hands are Shnios Latuma. Are called the Sheni Latuma. Why? Literally, hands are busy. What does this mean? Rashi has two days here. Rashi, about the sixth wide line, Rashi says the day that he likes is that hands are dirty. You touch things all over the place. You don't wash your hands. They're sweaty. And then they're going to touch Truma. It's not covered for the Truma. He goes, another day that maybe your hands are Tame. Your hands touch something that was Tame. Rashi doesn't like that opinion. He likes the first opinion. Either way, it's two days in Rashi. What does it mean? Yadayin askani asein. Tana. Now we add on one more before we get back to the list in the Mishnah. Af yadayim habos machma sefer postalis truma. Not only general hands, but hands that touched a sefer. We mentioned before, svarim are atame. Even hands that directly touched a sefer, postless as a truma, they are also considered shenis. Mishum de Rebbe Parnach. Why? Because the Rabbanan wanted to prevent people from touching Sifrei Torah directly. Or Tosfos here says, not all kispei kodesh. To Amar Rebbe Parnach, Amar Rebbe Yochanan, ha'ochel sefer Torah arum. If somebody touches a Torah naked, there are some afarshim that say that means when the person is naked, but the pashtus rov rishon mean if you touch the sefer Torah straight. Right, that's what the with your hands. So then, nikvar arum, you're going to be buried arum. If you touch the Torah arum, when the Torah is arum, without a hefsik, so you're going to be buried arum. So Gemara says, arum sakadaitach. You're going to be buried arum. Could that be? So the Pnei Yeshua says, why not? That's mida keneged mida. What's the big problem? The Gemara says, how can it be? It is. The Pnei Yeshua says, no. The question is that this getting buried arum is really a kapara. We know the closer you are to the, right, in Eretz Yisrael, they don't use coffins. Why? They're buried directly next to the ground. They get the kapara of the Eretz Yisrael. Right? So he says, it's not a room? That's a good thing in some ways, says the Ritva. That's the question. So that can't be what it means. So El Amar Abzeir, arm below mitzvahs. It means no, if you touch the Sefer Torah when it's naked, you're buried without mitzvahs. The Gemara says, below mitzvahs, salgataita, as Menachem asked yesterday. For this one Avera, you're going to forget all your mitzvahs are going to get wiped out? So Gemara says, no, Ela Ema Arum Blo Osa Mitzvah. No, it means the mitzvah that you are doing, let's say you're laning from the Torah, let's say you're doing Hagba or Galila, and you touch the Sefer Torah directly, that mitzvah you're not going to get, because you're touching the Sefer Torah directly. And that's what Tosva says, that's how Tosva explains the Gemara. This is very halacha l'maisa. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Simin Kuf Mem Zayin, Aser Lecho Sefer Torah Arum Blo Mitzvachas. You're not allowed to touch the Torah with your hands. It's a bizayon for the Sefer Torah. And that's what it says. You're not supposed to do it. Unless, if you're a sofer, if you're fixing something, if you're fixing the glue, you're fixing a letter, obviously then. But in general, you're not supposed to. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah quotes that, let's say, somebody's doing Hagba, and what happens, let's say, sometimes the Sefer Torah, somebody did 18 columns, and therefore the whole thing is falling down. So if the Gabe goes over, what does he usually do? He takes a talus. Takes a talus and lifts it up, because we're not supposed to touch the Sefer Torah directly. And the Rama says, V'yesh omen duhot the shar kisvei HaKodesh. And he says, fine. He says, some are machmir. I've seen this in one or two places, more in Eretz Yisrael, that even the Eitz Atzei Chaim, that some people wrap, when they do Chagba, they hold it in the talus. Mishnah Berurah says, if you don't have that minhag, you shouldn't do it. It's probably, I mean, you don't, by Chagba, we don't mess around by Chagba. By Chagba, most shitas say that the Atzei Chaim are not included. You can touch them directly. But there's a machlokas in our Gemara between Tosfos and the Tavavam and Beis and the Mordechai. What if you just washed your hands? There's no issue of anything, or you ought to touch the Torah then. So we're machmir lachanchila also. We're machmir lachanchila to try even not to touch the Torah, even if you just washed your hands. But either way, this is the source for that halacha about touching the Sefer Torah without arum, touching it arum. So the Gemara says, so what were the last three gzeiros here? On Sefer, Yadayim, and Yadayim that touch a Sefer. So the Gemara says, hey, Gaza Bereisha, what was the order here? Ilei Maha Gaza Bereisha, did they first make the gzeira like we have it in our Gemara on Yadayim and then Yadayim that touch a Torah. So then obviously you don't need the second one, right? Keeping the hakaz of Eresha Hasul Amali. You don't need a specific gzeira for hands that touch a Torah if all hands are already shneos. So Gemara says, okay, you're right. El hakaz of Eresha. First they made the gzeira of touching a Torah. Hands that touch a Torah have the halacha of a shnia. V'hadagaz of Bekul Yadayim. And then they made a gzeira of all hands. Fine. Next on the list. Third line, V'tful Yom. T'ful Yom, remember, is somebody who went to the mikvah in the afternoon, and then, let's say, they're going to become tahar that night, so you need Ha'arev Shemesh, and then they could eat Maiser Sheni right away. But they have to wait to eat Truma, and they could eat Kachim the next day. That's the halacha of a T'ful Yom. So Gemara says, V'tful Yom, T'ful Yom Daraisahu. D'chsev Uwash Shemesh V'tahar. What is T'ful Yom doing on this list? T'ful Yom is a din daraisa. Everything else on the list is a din darabanan. The fact that a T'ful Yom has to wait till the night to eat Truma, that's a din daraisa. So Gemara says, you're right. Sami mikan t'ful yom. Easy answer. Take it out. Cross it out. Tosva says, just cross it out from the Mishnah. Right? Cross it out from the fact that it's a takana. It could be in the Mishnah, but you're right. It's different than the rest of the things in the Mishnah. It's a din d'araisa. Next. Fifth line. V'ha'ochlin shenitzbu ubamashkin. The second to last one on the list was food that became tamei through liquid. So the Gemara asks, "B'mashke demai, what type of liquid are we talking about? Food? What's the Mishnah saying? The Mishnah says that food that became tamei with a liquid it has the status of a sheni. That's what the Mishnah says, right? Everybody still with us? Food that became tamei through liquid has the status of a sheni. So what type of liquid made a tamei? So ilema mashke demai, which liquid? Ilema b'mashke nabon machmas sheretz. If we're talking about mashkin, that became tummy through a sheretz, through a creepy crawly thing. A creepy crawly thing, a sheretz, is an av hatumah. An av was one of the avos hatumah. So let's think about it. If an av hatumah touched liquid, midaraisa, what is that liquid? A rishon latumah. So Gemara says, what do you mean? If it's a rishon, and then the rishon touches food, you don't need the rabbis for that. What do we say? All food could become tummy with a rishon. People can't. We're talking about food here. So Gemara says, it can't be talking about liquid that became tamei through a sheretz. Why daraisa ninu? That's the din daraisa. Based on the pasuk. So Gemara says, you're right. We're talking about food that became tamei through a liquid that became tamei through a person's hands. So let's see, a person's hands only are a sheni, so the liquid is a shlishi. So this liquid shouldn't be able to make any food tamei unless it's hektish. Right? It shouldn't be able to. So that's the din. The Rabbanan said that even food that became tamei through liquid, that became tamei through touching hands, that food is tamei midrabbanan, that is the status of a sheni latuma. Why? Because you might get confused with real din d'araisa, with liquid that touched the sheretz, liquid that's a real rishon. Okay? That is the line about food. What about the last one on the list? The hakelim shenitzbu b'mashkin. Kalim that became tamei through liquid. That has the status of a sheni. So what are we talking about? Similar question. Kalim to itzmu b'mashkin demai. What type of liquid are we talking about? What type of tamei liquid made these kalim tamei? Ilema b'mashkin dezav. If we're talking about liquid that came out of a zav. If you look in the Mishnayis at the beginning of Kalim, a Zav is Tamei Midaraisa. But not only a Zav, right? We mentioned a Zav yesterday. A Zav is somebody who has an emission that is considered unnatural. It's not a regular Shechva Zera. Shechva Zera is considered natural. It also it's a certain type of Tumah, but that doesn't make you a Zav. A Zav is an unnatural emission, Shalo B'Shas Via. That's Ziva, some type of emission. So the Torah says that not only is a Zav an Avatumah, but any liquid that comes out of a Zav. His saliva, his blood, his saliva, his ziva, the stuff that comes out of him, anything that comes out of his zav, his liquids are also an av. So Gemara says, Ilei b'mashkin dezav. If we're talking about that the kalim touched the mashkin of a zav, daraisa ninu. So that's the din daraisa. What do we say? Adam and kalim can become tamei only from Adam and kalim. Avatoma. So here, these are avos atoma. So an avatoma that touched a kli, you don't need the rabbis again. Because if a kli touched an avatoma, then it's tamei mida oraisa. It becomes a rishon. As the pasuk says, if the zav spits on a tahar, but what does that mean? Batahar, masha biyatar. It means the kli in the hands of a tahar, timei selucha. So but that can't be the case that the rabbis were gozer on. El b'mashkin abon machmas sheretz. So you're right. Go one level down. We're talking about liquids that became tamei through a sheretz. A sheretz is an avatuma. Liquids that touch a sheretz is a rishon latuma. So if a kli touches those liquids, really it should be nothing. Right? Because kalim can't become tummy from a rishon. Ah, so that's the rabbi, that's where the rabbanan come in. They say, even a kli that touches liquids that are a rishon l'tumah, it's still sheni midrabanan. The gzeira mishum mashkin dezav. And why? Because there might be confusion with different types of liquids. Saliva of a zav is an avatumah. So people might get confused with this liquid and that liquid. That's why, period. If kalim touch liquids, even if the liquid is only a rishon, still those kalim are considered a sheni. Period. That ends our discussion of the reasons for that group of halachos that were gozer, that were nigzar in the attic. So now the Gemara has a little side discussion. The Gemara says, "V'yadayim tamidim shamay v'hilel gazer." We just said that all these gzeiros are from the attic, and the tamidim of Shammai and Hillel, you know, got together and they argued, they fought it out, and Shammai was more than Hillel, and they did it. So the Gemara says, the takana of yadayim was Shammai and the tamidim of Shammai and Hillel did that. That's a much earlier gzeiro. What are we talking about? Shammai v'hilel gazer. Shammai and Hillel themselves made the gzeira on yadayim. Not their talmidim. The Tanya, as we learned in Ebraisa, Yosef ben Yehuzer is trade of Yosef ben Yochanan Yerushalayim, Gazru Tumal Eretz Amim. These two Rabbanan that have Pirkei Avos fame. Pirkei Avos fame. But you should know, they were also halachists. They weren't just ethicists. Right? So these two great rabbis, with Gozer Tumal Eretz Amim, Rashi says, all of Eretz Amim, because there's, Rashi says, in most of the world outside of Eretz Yisrael, there could be Svekas if there are Kfaris there, and Tumas Akum, the question whether it's Matami Ba'ohel, Mase Akum Tami Ba'ohel, or Matami Bidigiyah. Either way, there's a suffake out there, so there's the Rabbana where goes there on all land outside of Eretz Yisrael to be Tame. V'yalkli Zechuchis, and on glass Kalim, right, because glass Kalim is Rashi says, V'loksiv Ba'oraisa Tumah, don't think about needing tefillah on glass Kalim, you have to, but it's in the Rabbana, fine, but it's, you have to be told about glass Kalim. V'yalkli Zechuchis, and they were goes there on glass Zechuchis, Tumah, because that's not in the Torah anywhere. Shimon ben Shetach tikeng suba le'isha. Shimon ben Shetach was masaking suba for a woman. We don't have time for this now, but there's major machlokes tanaim already in ksubis, whether the din of ksuba. Ksuba is the list of the contract that has the responsibilities of the husband for the wife in the situation of death or divorce. It is not a marriage contract. A ksuba is not a marriage contract. People are fully married without the ksuba. There's a special halacha that a man and a woman cannot live together without a ksuba. That probably an issur d'rabbanan. But the people are fully married without the ksuba. Let's say somebody loses their ksuba. They don't have to get remarried. Right, they have to come right away to the Rav to get another ksuba. The woman doesn't know where the ksuba is. But a ksuba is not a marriage contract. That's even though we do it at the wedding. Or we do it at the chasen sitz. He's already obligated himself. He's not married yet. He picks up the thing, he picks up the pen, boom, he's chayiv in the ksuba. He's not married yet. The answer is the ksuba is done at a marriage, but that's it's the responsibilities of the husband to the wife in case Rachman al Islan of death or divorce. You have to go to the Rav right away. You can't live with your wife. You can't be together with your wife. Yichud, I don't think is, I'm not sure. I don't think Yichud is a problem, but more than that is a problem. But anyway, there's a big issue whether Ksuba is D'Araisa or D'Rabbanan. In our Ksubas, it says, D'Chazi Lechi Mi D'Araisa. So, Rav Poskim say that Ksuba is D'Rabbanan, like Shimon Ben Shetach here. But, and for the reasons they're discussing, Ksuba Staf Yud, you can look it up. But either way, we say it means like it should be Midaraisa. We don't really literally take it Daraisa. But either way, that's Takana Shemim Metshetach, Leisha. The Gozer Tumah Kli Matzchas. And he was Gozer Tumah on metal Kalim. Shammai, this is an important line for us. Shammai V'Hillel Gozer Tumah L'Yadayim. Shammai and Hillel made a Gzera on hands to become Tumah. So you see, it was much earlier. So what do you mean that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel did it? Shammai and Hillel made a Gzera on Yadayim. And if you want to say that, no, Shammai and Hillel were with their talmidim in the attic. So that's what it means. Shammai and Hillel did it. They were there also. So there's no stira. They did it with their talmidim. So Gemara says, V'hamar v'yudam ha'shmul. Now that doesn't work, because we know, Yudches davar gazer v'yudches nachluku. On that day in the attic, they had 18 arguments. And Beis Shammai won every machlokas. And we know, this is famous, Shammai and Hillel only argued 3 times. So they couldn't have been there. Because the Gezeirah said there were 18 machlokesim. Shammai and Hillel only argued 3 times. V'ilu Hillel v'Shammai lo nechlu elu v'gimel makomos. Right? Only the Talmidim had so many machlokesim. Damar avuna v'gimel makomos nechluku v'sulo. So you can't answer that they were there, so we're still stuck. We're back to the kasha. Was this from Shammai and Hillel, or was this from Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? V'chi tema asu inu gazru litlos v'asu talmidav v'gazru listrov. And if you want to say there were 2 stages of the Gezeirah, Beis Shammai and Hillel themselves had stage 1. They said you should make a gzeira at least that there's a suffix tumma on hands. That's what I mean, litlos. To hang out a little bit, not don't burn anything if it becomes tamei, but don't say it's nothing. They made exera that it's a suffik tumah, and the talmidim then came along and said it's vadai tamei. Maybe that's the two stages. The Gemara says no, you can't say that either. V'amar ilfa, we've had ilfa a little bit. Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan. Ilfa was the one who left yeshiva. Yadayim, but he was still a big time a chacham. Yadayim tchilas gezeras and l'sreifa. No, the first stage of the gezera of yadayim was to burn, meaning it was to be gozer vadai tumah. So again, we're back to the kasha. What's going on here? Ella, what's the answer? Ella, asa inu gazav lo kiblu minayu. Shammai and Hillel tried to make a gzera, but it wasn't accepted at the time. We know part of a gzera drabanan is it's only effective and it only holds if it takes hold in Klal Yisrael. So they tried, but it wasn't makubal. Also, tamidayu gazav lo kiblu minayu. But then later on, the next generation, the tamidim came and were gozer, and then it was accepted. So that is the two stages of the Gemara. Just two more lines. We'll finish in a minute. V'yakati Shlomo Gazer. So fine. We explained Shammai. What did we just say? Shammai and Hillel made the Gzeira, but it was not accepted. The Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel made the Gzeira, and it was accepted. But now the Gemara says, go even earlier back in history. Shlomo HaMelech made this Gzeira on Yadayim. What are you talking about? Shammai and Hillel. V'yakati Shlomo Gazer. D'amar Yehuda Mar Shmuel. B'shashdik Shlomo Eirvin Atilas Yadayim. When Shlomo HaMelech made the Takana of Eirvin. That's Rashi explains here that you need an Erev Chatzeros, even going from two Rishus HaYachids. Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, you still should have an Erev Chatzeros. V'netilas Yadayim. You see, Shlomo did Netilas Yadayim. When he did that, Yatsa Baskol V'yamra, Baskol went out and said, B'ni Yimchachem Libcha Yismach Libi Gamani. Right, if you're so smart, I'm so happy, says Hashem. Chacham B'ni Yismach Libi Vashiva Karfi Dovar. That's the pasuk that Hashem is so happy when he made these takanas. Tomorrow morning, we'll start with a Chassam Sofer. Why was Hashem so happy about these takanas? There were many takanas in the world. Anyway, so says, you see, the Gemara says that Shlomo HaMelech made the Gzeira. So the Gemara answered, no. There was another stage. Asa Shlomo Gazer LeKadshim. Stage one, that Shlomo HaMelech made Gzeira, that your hands are Tamei regarding Kadshim. V'asu inu v'gazer af l'truma. Then they made a Gzeira for Truma. So what happened in history? Stage one, Shlomo HaMelech made the Gzeira for Kadshim. Right, the holiest. Then Shammai and Hillel tried to make it for Truma, but it didn't work. It wasn't accepted. The Tabesh Shammai Beis Hillel made it for Truma, and then it was accepted. And just to foreshadow what we're going to talk about tomorrow a little bit, what we do, Bizman HaZeh, is an extension of that Gzeira, that we wash our hands even for Chulin. But only for bread, but even for Chulin. But it all comes from this original Takana of Shlomo and Shammai and Hillel and Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Okay, Beis Hashem will continue tomorrow. Again, today's shiur was L'Zecher Nishmas Yitzchak Ben Shlomo Yehuda.